Okay, so let's get started. I'd like to welcome you on this session. We'll be talking about Roslyn. And during this session, I will show you several scenarios in which you can use Roslyn. And at the end of this session, we will torture the C# compiler a little bit to get some interesting stuff done. My name is Tomáš Hrsek. I came from the Czech Republic, and I am Microsoft ASP.NET MVP and Microsoft Regional Director. It doesn't mean that I work for Microsoft, but I am going over conferences and speaking there and everywhere, and working with communities. So let's start about Roslyn. The first question, most important one, is what is Roslyn, and why did Microsoft do that? The Roslyn is basically a rewrite of the original C# and VB.NET compilers. The original compilers, which were present from the first version of Visual Studio, they worked as a black box. You just put the source code inside, and on the other end, after some crazy magic happened, on the other end you received the assembly. And the problem is that it's not extensible easily, and it became hard to maintain for the teams which were developing and introducing new features for those languages. They had to implement new features separately for C#, for VB.NET, and test twice and do everything twice. The other issues were that the Visual Studio or some other extensions like ReSharper, they couldn't use the compiler to provide you IntelliSense or something like that. For example, the guys at JetBrains were implementing the ReSharper. They had to rewrite everything from scratch. They had to implement their own analyzer of the syntax, their own binder, and everything else. Roslyn is... despite the fact that it's a compiler, it's also the whole platform and API which can be used from the compiler itself. The IDE, like Visual Studio, can use this API of the compiler. And of course, you can use this API too. So if you have a situation in which you need to parse some source code or just an expression in C#, you can use this API, and you can parse and create, for example, the syntax tree. You can work with the syntax tree and transform it to anything else, or evaluate it, or do anything you need to do. Roslyn is open source. It's very important because it helps engaging the community into the development. If you find some bug or anything, or have a suggestion for a new cool language feature, you can issue a pull request, or you can put issue on GitHub. You can see that what the team is working on. Oh. Oh, okay, so I'll tell you what you would see on their GitHub. I want to show you the branches of the repository, because you would see several feature branches for every feature they are trying to implement in the languages. They have a feature branch, so you can try it, you can make issues and everything else. Of course, you can download the Roslyn, you can compile it by yourself, and you can see that if their integration tests are passing or failing. We'll be doing this compiling Roslyn itself on the last demo in this session. Another improvement which Roslyn brings is the performance improvement, because they are trying to compile the files in parallel, and the whole compiler is designed in that way that many operations can be parallelized. So I don't know the exact numbers, but they talked about significant performance improvements. And if we tried Visual Studio 2015 on a project that compiled something, complete rebuild of the solution took 5 minutes. And in Visual Studio, it took 2 minutes less. So it was something like 3 minutes. So it is faster, but I don't know the precise numbers. Okay. So let's look at the compiler itself. What parts are of the compiler, what parts it consists of. So there are 4 stages that needs to be done if you want to compile a source code. At the beginning, you have a source code which goes through the parser, and the parser tries to read the file, and if everything's okay, it will build a syntax tree. It's a tree of some objects. We will see it later in a demo. And you can use this tree for the features of Visual Studio, for example. If the Visual Studio wants to format your code or do syntax highlighting, it the only thing it needs is the syntax tree. Because in the syntax tree, you see whether it's a declaration or a comment or white space or a keyword. So that's enough information for a syntax highlighter, for the formatter, and other things. Then there is a next stage. If you have the syntax tree, you have to create symbols. Symbols is something like you can see in the object browser. It's the structure of the whole assembly, what namespaces are inside, what classes are in each namespace, what methods in every class, and et cetera, et cetera. So all type declarations, basically, and members of the types. And if you reference some other assemblies, you have to import metadata from those assemblies, because you don't have every symbol with the source code. Compiled assembly is a reference with symbols, but you don't have source code to them. So you have to import metadata from already compiled assemblies. So that's the second stage. For example, if you are using the Navigate to feature in Visual Studio, you just click some type name and press F12. So it works like go to definition. So Visual Studio needs to have the symbol tree to be able to find the corresponding class or struct or type or anything. The next stage is Binder, which dives into the method bodies and analyzes which variable is what is of which type. And if you are calling some function, it verifies that the arguments have correct types and there is a correct number of arguments. And you can see also the many features in Visual Studio is using the results of the binder. So for example, completion list, which is basically the IntelliSense, if you are using some variable and press dot, so Visual Studio have to find the type of the variable or the expression and suggest you the properties and functions you can use on that object, or find all references, or if you are doing rename, so it has to dive into method bodies and replace the type names everywhere. So there are a couple of features Visual Studio needs, the binder. And when everything succeeds, there are no errors, nothing is missing, everything is matched together, so then the IL emitter comes into the stage, and it takes the results of the binder and tries to emit the MSIL bytecode, which is and creates the assembly. So that's the end. The compiler, Roslyn, gives you API for all those stages. So you don't have to use it as a one set of features. You can just say, I have a source code and I want a syntax tree. Or I want to analyze it with symbols and stop after the second stage. Or you can use binder and stop before emitting the assembly, because you don't need the assembly. Or if you want to the assembly, you can, of course, use the whole process. But it's extensible, and you can use only parts of the compiler which you need. OK, so the most interesting thing to me is the syntax tree. So let's look at how it looks. So at the beginning, you have a source code in C# or VB. And the parser processes this file and builds a syntax tree. The tree consists of several things, and the most important things in the syntax tree are the nodes. This is the most important thing you will for the parser, and I can show it to you how it works. So I have a demo here. And I have installed an extension called .NET Compiler Syntax Visualizer, which is this tool window. And if you open some C# file, you can see the syntax tree. So if I click on the main function, we can see that there the tree, the root of the tree, is a compilation unit. We have some using directives here. 5 using directives. If I jump inside the using directive, you can see that there is another identifier name. And if you are wondering what green color and blue color means, it's there is a legend. And syntax node, the most important part of the tree, is blue. Then there is a token, which is basically the atomic part of the source code, for example, a keyword or a brace or some dot or operator or something like that. And then also there are the red things. This is called trivia. Trivia is unnecessary part of source code, or it's necessary for the parser to be able to split keywords. For example, if you have public static next to each other, the white space is mandatory. It's required to put a white space. But if you are working with the syntax tree, it's not important for you. It's just part of a white space or comment or something like that. So the node is the most important. Using directives is a node, class declaration, method declaration, some expression statement or something like that. These are nodes. Then there are tokens. Typically, node consists of several tokens, one or more tokens. And trivia is a white space and the rest, which is not important at all. And the syntax tree has to represent the source code completely. Because if you want to do some refactorings or you want to modify the syntax tree, that the white space, comments, and everything has to be preserved. So even these unnecessary things like trivia, white space, comments, they are part of the tree. Because if you change something in the tree and call toString on the tree, you have to get the modified source code without breaking the white spaces and formatting that everybody, that the developer has already done there. So a syntax tree is a complete representation of the source code. And you can see it using the syntax visualizer add-in. And if you want to generate your own syntax tree, because you can, if you want to create a piece of code and compile it, you can. And you don't have to use String Builder to compile the to assemble the code in C#. You can use Syntax Factory class, and you can build your syntax tree using handful factory methods. If you want to parse the tree, the Roslyn contains the handy class C# syntax tree.parse. It's a static method. You put there the C# source code, and you get back the syntax tree. And we will see it in the next demo. So if I go back to the syntax visualizer, you see that the nodes are blue. So using directive is a node. So you can browse all those nodes. And there is a using keyword, which is this using word. And you see it's only a token, because it has no meaning. It's there only for the syntax purposes, to be able to compile the file. But if you need to determine which namespaces are required for this class, you only need nodes. You don't need tokens. They are only for the syntax correctness of the file. And this is a white space trivia. This is this space between the using and system.link keyword. So the blue nodes are most important. And now this, this is a namespace declaration. It's also a node. And in the namespace declaration, there are several. This is identifier name, name of the namespace. And then this is a class declaration, which is the only member of the namespace declaration. Yeah, so you can see the hierarchy. And inside the class, there is method declaration. If I put there another method, there will be another node for this. Yeah. And the method has some parameter list. It has some block, which is a block of code inside the method. And if I click somewhere into the source code, the tree will expand so I can see where I am. I'm on this identifier token. Identifier name is console. And console.WriteLine is simple member access expression. I'm accessing the member of the console class. So it's simple member access expression. And this is invocation expression because I'm calling a method with some parameter, et cetera, et cetera. This is if statement. So this is a syntax tree. It's a complete representation of the source code. You can dive into the hierarchy of the file, and you can analyze also the lines in methods. Yeah? So it's a complete representation of the source code. OK, so let's go to the next demo. What it's good for? I guess the main usage of Roslyn for developers, if you are not going to extend the compiler itself, if you are only going to use it, is that you want to write some analyzers, diagnostic tools for Visual Studio, maybe some code refactorings. In many software projects, there are many rules for developers to obey. And those rules can be, for example, if you are calling this method, pass some parameter value. Don't pass null here, and et cetera. Or you can have many rules like that if you are using the if statement, always put the curly braces. Don't use just single line if expressions. Yeah, so this is one of the rules I want to enforce in my project. So it's very easy to write an extension into Visual Studio which can enforce those kinds of rules. So all members in the team will be notified if they are doing something wrong. Maybe one question. Who is using StyleCop or FXCop? A quarter of the people. OK, thank you. So this is something similar. This is basically writing custom rules into StyleCop because it's a tool which enforces that you are writing code and you are following some rules. So this I will create a rule which enforces this policy. If the if statement has always have to these curly braces. If somebody writes this at the bottom line, then I want Visual Studio to underline the line and, if possible, to create some quick action that you press some shortcut and Visual Studio itself wraps this line into the curly braces, something like that. So I will create a diagnostic rule which will find all if statements which don't have those curly braces. So we'll create a diagnostic rules which finds patterns which look like this. And then I want to write a diagnostic fix. It's a command in the Visual Studio. It looks like this. If I use some class which doesn't exist and I press control dot, then I have some menu with some options. So if I write if without those curly braces, then similar menu will appear. And it would allow me to add those curly braces which are missing. Yeah. So this will be the demo. And if you want to do such thing, you have to create a new project. And you have to install .NET compiler SDK extension into Visual Studio. This will add several project templates. And if you browse into the Visual C Sharp extensibility category, you will see some templates which are part of the .NET Compiler Platform SDK. And we want to write analyzer with CodeFix. So I would create this project. And it's a template which I have already created. So let's get back to it. And there are three projects in this solution. The last one is the VSIX package. It's a Visual Studio extension you can install, and it will start checking for if statements in all the projects. Or the second project is the test, because you want to verify that it will work. So there is a template for unit testing this thing. And the first one is the library, which is the main core of this functionality. There are two classes. First one is Diagnostic Analyzer, which is a class, and it's responsible for finding the patterns you want to underline in Visual Studio. And the second one is CodeFix Provider, which can change the source code appropriately to resolve the issue that was found by the Diagnostic Analyzer. And there are two kinds of distribution of this diagnostic rule. Either you can use the VSIX package, so you can install an extension into Visual Studio and enforce this policy on all projects that anyone opens in the Visual Studio, or the result of the first project is a NuGet package. So if this rule is specific for one project only, you can do many of rules which only validates if you are using some your internal API in one project and if you are using this API correctly. So yes, you can have many diagnostic rules for specific project. So if it's for a specific project, the result of this the compilation is also a NuGet package. So you can install this NuGet package into your project, and the rule will be applied only in that project and not in the others. Yeah, so there are two kinds of distribution. You can decide which is appropriate for your scenario. OK, so let's look how the diagnostic works. It's a class which derives from Diagnostic Analyzer. And it's marked with an attribute so Visual Studio can find it. And we say that it's for C#, so it won't be enforced in other languages. There are some constants, title, message format, description. They are taken from the resource file. Yeah, I can open the resource file, but this is only name of the diagnostic and some description. Always use curly braces with if statement. So these are only constants. And there is a diagnostic descriptor called rule. And this is a singleton object which represents this diagnostic rule. Yeah. And supported diagnostics, it's implementation of the property declared in Diagnostic Analyzer. And you say you have to tell to Visual Studio which diagnostic rules this class handles. Yeah. So you can tell Visual Studio that this class returns this only this one rule. But if you have multiple of them, you have to return all rules that this class can produce. Then in the initialize method, you have to register some action. And I am saying, using this line says that every time the if statement in the file is changed or created or something like that, that I want to call this method analyze syntax. It's for the performance reasons, because if Visual Studio have to run some function for all analyzers on every change in the source code, it would be slow. So you have to register for some parts of the syntax tree which you are interested in, so Visual Studio won't call some methods on your class every single time, every when users press any key. Yeah, so you have to register for some syntax tokens, syntax nodes, And if the if statement is changed or the user types new if statement, then this analyze syntax method will be called. And I am just grabbing the if statement. I have to cast it to a correct type. And the if statement has the property called statement, and it's basically the contents of the if. So it's not the condition, it's the one or more expressions that will be statements that will be executed when the condition is true. So I'm checking, and if the statement is not block syntax, because if you have curly braces there, then if statement is always block syntax, because block syntax is a node which contains the everything it's in the curly braces. So the if statement dot statement has to be block syntax. If it's not, I'm creating new diagnostic rule based on this template, and I have to say where the code will be underlined. So I call if statement dot get location, which will return the position of this if in the source code. And I call context report diagnostic. So I'm telling, yeah, I have found the problem. Visual Studio will underline this line of code. So let's look how it works. If you press F5, the project is set up. So a new instance of Visual Studio will be launched. And you can create a new project and test your diagnostic tool. So I have prepared already a simple demo for this. So yeah, and you can see that I have an if statement, and it's underlined because this analyzer has found if statement and see that the statement inside the if is not a block syntax, it's something like expression statement syntax. Yeah. So if it's not the block syntax, we will report to Visual Studio that this line has some problem. If I can create another if. Yeah, and I see it's underlined too. When I add the curly braces, it won't get to my condition. The statement is the block syntax now, so it's not underlined. The diagnostic rule just disappears, and the code is not underlined. Yes? So that's the diagnostic. You can find some patterns in your source code and tell Visual Studio to underline it, to notify the user that something is wrong with this part of the code. So that's it. And of course, I don't like to bully people in my team. I just want to help them. So I'd like to offer them a quick fix action so they only press one key shortcut, for example, the control dot, which is a standard Visual Studio shortcut. And some menu appears and allows to fix this situation. This is already implemented. I'll show you how I've done this thing. OK? So let's quit the Visual Studio and return back. The CodeFix provider is a class which can offer those fixing actions to diagnostics you have found. So it derives from CodeFix provider. It's marked also with the attribute. So Visual Studio will say, OK, this class works as a CodeFix provider, so I will run it when appropriate. And there is a property you have to override. It's called fixable diagnostics ID. And basically, it says that you have to report which diagnostic errors can this class fix. Yeah. So I say I can fix diagnostic ID, which is this. It's declared here. And the rule, diagnostic descriptor rule, this uses this references this diagnostic ID. Maybe it's it would be wise to choose some better name just than demo 2. For example, some GUID or something like that. OK, so you have to tell which rules you can fix. And then there is a get fix all provider, because if there is several occurrences of this problem in the file, you can fix them all in the file. Yeah, so I'm saying batch fixer, which is some built-in provider that just takes all the occurrences and one by one runs the diagnostic action. But there are some things like rename, which can do some complex actions, so you would have to write a new provider for complicated situation. This is very simple situation. It's only local change, so you can just use batch fixer, which just goes through all occurrences and fixes them one by one. Okay, so then there is a register code fixes async, and if the Visual Studio finds the problem and sees that this class code fix provider can fix this situation, it calls this method. And I can analyze it and offer some appropriate actions which user can do. So I'm finding the if statement there. And if I am able to find the if statement, I will create a new code action. Title comes from the resources. And create change document. It's a callback which will be called when I need to do this change. And this last method is called when the user chooses this item in the context menu. And I'm modifying the syntax tree here. One important thing to remember, the syntax trees are immutable. You can't change them. So every time you want to do some change, you have to create a new syntax tree. Yeah. It's because of the that the tree may be changed in parallel, so it prevents some race conditions and other things and locking. So every time you want to do some change in the syntax tree, you have to build a new one. Okay, so I take the if statement dot statement, because I know it's not in the block, it's not wrapped in the curly braces. So I will use syntaxfactory.block, which creates a new block syntax node. And I say that inside of the node, the original if statement.statement will be. So this is line which wraps the statement in the if into curly braces. Then I'm modifying the if statement, so I have to create a new if statement. I take the original if statement, and I'm saying dot with statement, which can replace the statement with a new value I have specified. So if statement dot with statement, it creates a copy of the if statement, but it replaces the statement with the parameter I just passed. And because I'm modifying the syntax tree, but I'm not handling the white spaces, the code won't be formatted. There won't be no spaces between in front on the beginnings of the lines. So there is a feature. If you add with additional annotations, formatter annotation, you're telling the Visual Studio then after this action is taken that the formatter will be run on this node. So it will fix the formatting. So it will add the tabs on the beginning of the line. Yeah, so with additional annotations, formatter dot annotation will make the code formatted. And then I have to create a new syntax tree. I call await document get syntax root async, which gets the whole syntax tree for the file. And I'm creating a new syntax tree. I call syntax tree dot replace node, and I take the original if, delete it, and replace it by the new if I have just created. A new if has the if body block. The statement is wrapped using the block syntax. So I have just wrapped the statement, created a new if with this statement already in curly braces, added a node to a formatter that the if and its contents should be formatted. And I have created a new syntax tree and replaced the old if with the new one. And I'm returning a new document with syntax root new syntax tree. So I have created a new syntax tree, which is correct. So let's look how it works. So if I open the file again, you have to wait for a second for the diagnostic to find the issue. And I see there's an issue, and I press Control dot or click this icon, and I see my new code action, add curly braces. You can Visual Studio already run my method, so they could do this diff, and you can see what will be replaced with the new if. So there is a preview of this change, and I can click on it, and the change is taken. And you see that the if is reformatted. I have never added some white spaces before each line, before each token, but I have added the annotation for the formatter, so formatter just went to the if statement and fixed the formatting for me. Yeah? So that's how you can offer quite simple diagnostic rules and code fixes for common mistakes in the code. If you are using StyleCop, you can enforce this policy using StyleCop. However, very often you can find some project-specific rules which is hard to implement yourself. So Roslyn gives you this opportunity to enforce some project-specific rules. There was also a test project, just a quick look on the unit tests. It's a quite simple test. I have a source code with some if without curly braces, and now I'm creating expected that I expect this diagnostic alert with this message and this severity, and it will be on this location in the source code I have provided. And I call verify C# diagnostics, which is a method already prepared in the project template, and it verifies that the diagnostic was found on the correct position. And there is the resulting source code when I apply the code fix. So it's the fixed if statement, and I call verify C# fix, and it would run the fix and compare the source code with the one I expect. So you can quite easily you can unit test this diagnostic rule and code fix action to be sure that it will work, it won't crash Visual Studio or something like that. So that was the second demo. And the third demo, the last one, I have downloaded the source code from GitHub, source code of Roslyn. There are several branches you have to, if you want to play, I suggest I recommend to pick some stable branch, for example, VS 2015 release or something like that. It should be stable. And if you want to see how the compiler is created, it's quite large solution. There are many of projects. I have collapsed some categories. But you can see precisely how the compiler is built, how it's written. And you can modify it and use the modified compiler. So if you want to implement some new language feature, you can. And I'll show you how to do it. It's not April Fool's Day today. However, I will be doing some crazy stuff in .NET. If I you can see this character. It's some Unicode character, Snowman. I'll copy into my clipboard. And I will do a tiny little change. This is a method which scans the source code. And if it finds a double quote or a single quote, then it calls function scanStringLiteral. So basically, all strings starts with double quote or a single quote. If it's single quote, it's char. I can say, in my version of C# compiler, this the string can start by a snowman character also. And in this function, I have to put it once again because there is another condition which verifies that I am inside a string. So I will add this condition here, and that should be all. If I run, there are many projects, and if you find the project called Open Source Debug, it's set up to start a new instance of Visual Studio with the modified compiler, so you can test your changes directly in the Visual Studio. The problem is that it doesn't work in the RTM currently. When I was demoing this session in Visual Studio 2050 RC, release candidate, it worked, even in the syntax highlighting feature, so I could show that it works even with the syntax highlighting. However, in RTM version, the Roslyn syntax highlighter, the default one, is maybe some hard-coded or something. So the modified compiler is only run when I build the application, but it's not used in the IntelliSense and in syntax highlighting. So it won't work really well. However, it would compile and it would run the assembly. So you can see in the release candidate version, the project was set up so the hello world would appear exactly like string. It won't be underlined, it would be read, and IntelliSense would work on this. In this version, it doesn't. On the GitHub, they say that currently debugging is not supported. However, they are working on it, so I guess in the future it will still work. However, if I run Ctrl-Shift-B to rebuild the solution, you can see build succeeded, even if I'm not using double quotes, I'm using the snowmans. And if I run this demo, then I should console readline. I'll add this, and if I run this demo, then we'll see that it works, it writes the hello world. Okay, so this is how you can torture the C# compiler. You can see how it works, and you can modify the behavior of the compiler. If you have a software project and you want to create some crazy vendor lock-in, you can use this, because nobody else would be able to compile it unless he modifies the compiler. OK, so that's how you can play with Roslyn. And maybe this would be a nice pull request on the April Fool's Day to the Roslyn. But OK, so that's all the demos. If you have any question, it's the correct time to ask. Mm-hmm. Okay, from the first row.
Can you just generate this syntax trees dynamically?
Okay, the question is if you can dynamically create a syntax tree and compile it. Yes, you can. There is the Syntax Factory class, which you can use to build entire tree, or you can, for example, parse existing source code and modify parts of the syntax tree, and then you can continue with the stages of the compilation, so you can use syntax tree and you can compile it. It's very easy. They have a lot of handy methods to do it, so I guess it's one or two lines of code or something like that. So yes, you can create your own syntax tree. You don't have to create source code in a string and then parse it. You can build just the tree and continue with the compilation. OK, next question.
Mm-hmm. So my question is if it will work on VNX, the new ASP.NET pipeline.
Oh, the question is if this diagnostic tools and the VS extension, if it would write, if it would work on the new projects like VS VNext. Yes, it should work because it's using the same API. They are using Roslyn internally to provide IntelliSense and everything, so it should work on C# files, even in the new types of projects. Yeah, so it should work. Okay, so the question is if Roslyn is only for C# and VB. Yes, currently they are not implementing C++ compiler on Roslyn. They are using Roslyn for VB and C# because those languages are really similar. The only difference is the syntax, and the rest is almost the same. So they are using it for managed languages. It shouldn't be impossible to implement another managed language in Roslyn. However, C++ is so different that it just wouldn't be possible. Sorry? The question is, if I have modified the Roslyn in my project, I'm not using modified compiler. I just wanted to show you that it's possible. If you want to implement some new feature, you can, because you have source code of the compiler. I don't think it's a common case that everyone would do this every week. Maybe it's just for a playing, or if you have some really serious thing in your project. I can imagine, for example, if you have some scenario which AOP would be appropriate for the situation, aspect-oriented programming, you can, for example, you can write a property and say introduce a new keyword that this property is, for example, lazy loaded or something like that. That kind of language extension I can imagine that would help, or you can use some other AOP framework. However, it's not a thing that everyone will need to do, but it's nice to see it's possible, and if you find a bug, you can fix it, send them pull request, and make the fix be available faster than if they needed to find the bug themselves. Okay? The question is if the syntax tree can be translated into a strongly typed expression tree. You mean expression tree in Lang? Yeah. No, the syntax tree cannot, because syntax tree is not the correct level for this. If it should be strongly typed, you have to go through first three stages of the compilation. So you have to have syntax tree, you have to resolve symbols, and you have to do the binding, so you have correct types everywhere. And then you will be able to write some visitor or something like that to transform it into expression tree. But I don't know if there is some API available for this. Yeah. But it will be possible, but the syntax tree is doesn't contain all the information needed. You have to go through the next stages to have all types correctly resolved. Mm-hmm. Next question. Okay, so thanks for your attention. If you have another questions, I will be here today and tomorrow, so just find me anywhere and we can talk. Thank you.